next scripture comes from Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. Then he sent some more servants and said, 'Tell those who had been invited that I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they paid no attention and went off, one to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his army and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The wedding banquet is ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find.' So the servants went out into the streets and gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. 'Friend,' he asked, 'how did you get in here without wedding clothes?' The man was speechless. Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" Let us pray. Righteous Lord, we are here today at your invitation. Thank you for welcoming us into your presence through your Son, Jesus Christ. Now enable us to hear your word for our lives, to be responsive to it and obedient to it through the power of your Holy Spirit, and that this will all be for your glory and your kingdom. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. As you may have gathered from Ronnie's announcement earlier, we're still enjoying some of the overflow of the joy and gladness from Ashley and Austin's wedding yesterday. Gladness that extended on beyond the sanctuary here into the reception yesterday evening, where there was plenty of food and drink and music and dancing to celebrate the beginning of their life together as husband and wife. I'm sure that for the Strickland family and for the Clodfelter family, today is a mixture of relief, exhaustion, and a good measure of joy all in there with it as well. There's a scene in Dostoevsky's The Brothers Karamazov where the character Alyosha is listening to a priest who's reading the story of Jesus' miracle of turning the water into wine at a wedding. And as this person listens, we get to hear what he's thinking, what's going on in his head. He says, "I love that passage. It's Cana of Galilee. The first miracle. Ah, that miracle. Ah, that sweet miracle. It was not men's grief, but their joy that Christ visited first. He worked his first miracle to help men's gladness. He who loves men loves their gladness too." Now, 2 weeks ago, I preached about how God delights in or is glad over us when we yield our lives to his sovereign love, which told us that God's default posture toward us isn't anger or vindictiveness. True, wrath is part of who he is in his response to our rebellion, our disobedience, and our unfaithfulness, but we also need to remember that his primary way of relating to us is with love and mercy, which means that joy is an essential part of who God is. That's part of what we were gathering from that message. And what he's done for us through Jesus Christ opens the way for us to come into and participate in God's joy. During that sermon, I quoted Pastor John Piper, who says, "It is good news that God is gloriously happy. No one would want to spend eternity with an unhappy God. If God is unhappy, then the goal of the gospel is not a happy goal, and that means it would be no gospel at all. But in fact, Jesus invites us to spend eternity with a happy God when he says, 'Enter into the joy of your master. Enter into the joy of your master.'" That's from Matthew 25, verse 23, which comes a few chapters after the text that we're looking at here in Matthew 22. In our scripture passage for this morning, God at first doesn't come across as a very happy God, very joyful God. In Jesus' parable, the king who sends out his invitation to a royal wedding gets snubbed, basically, by everyone. And he responds with rage, with violence. Now, granted, it takes a little while in the story to get up to that point. Things start out pretty much according to custom. The king begins making preparations for the wedding celebration and sends out an invitation, essentially a save the date notice. Then he sends some of his servants out to do in-person follow-up, announcing that everything is set, the doors are opening, it's time to come. But essentially everybody just refuses. So the king doesn't give up, though, we're told. He's so determined to have this wedding party that he sends out a second round of servants with a summons to come join the celebration. And this time he includes even more details, details about the reception menu. Maybe that'll whet their appetite and get them to come on and join us for the celebration, stimulate attendance. He wants the invitees at this time around to think about what you're missing. Consider what you'll miss out on if you don't show up. But again, everybody has more pressing needs, we're told. Attending to their property, doing business relationships, taking care of everyday concerns. But then things really get out of hand when some of the invitees mistreat some of the king's servants and even kill them. So the king escalates the whole confrontation by sending some of his own troops to kill them, to kill the killers and destroy their city. As far as he's concerned, their refusal of this invitation is equivalent to rebellion against his sovereignty, his kingship. So let's think about where we're at by this point in the story. The king's banquet hall is all prepared, yet empty. Large numbers of people are dead, and an entire city has been burned to the ground. And all this over a wedding party. What kind of story is this? What kind of king is this? What kind of kingdom is this? Especially since Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. I think that in order to interpret this parable, it's important for us to note how the whole text begins. Jesus spoke to them again in parables. Who is them? Well, basically, them refers to some of the religious leaders who've been clashing with Jesus more and more over issues of his authority. And this whole clash escalates as the story goes on further and moves toward Jerusalem into Jesus' suffering and death. So issues about the rejection of Jesus and his message are in play here, as well as issues about the rejection of Jesus' followers and who they are, especially in relationship with their fellow Israelites. In Matthew's own context, this tension between those who recognize and acknowledge the presence of God's messianic kingdom in Jesus and those who don't, it touches this community of disciples that Matthew's trying to write to and address and form. This community of faith that Matthew's writing to probably includes more and more Gentiles, non-Jews, who've been responding positively to the kingdom invitation that many of God's own people, especially their leaders, had been rejecting. So the bottom line is that when we understand the historical context of this particular parable, it helps us get a better handle, I think, on the whole tone of this story, the feel of this story, the conflict that it reflects. Notice, too, though, that the whole story doesn't end there near the middle of our text. It doesn't end with the smoldering ruins of the city. The king, again, is determined to have this wedding party. So he issues, in this case, an even more expansive invitation. He tells his servants, go anywhere and everywhere. Go into the seedy parts of town. Summon people to the banquet. Don't just invite those who are moving up further on the social ladder. Don't just invite those who have a good reputation in the community. Don't just invite those who are sticklers for the religious law, who are ethically pure. Invite anyone, everyone, the good ones and the bad ones. That's what the king sends forth. And we're told that the response was amazing. People dropped whatever they were doing and made a beeline for the reception hall. The place was packed with folks, many of whom would never have imagined getting to attend an event like this and eating food like this in a place like this. And all because this king was relentless in inviting others. Inviting others into something that was incredibly urgent, something that's fundamentally joyful. Tony Campolo is a sociologist, but he's also a preacher. He once wrote a book called The Kingdom of God is a Party. And he tells about an experience that he had one night in Hawaii. He went into a little greasy spoon restaurant and ordered a donut and a cup of coffee and sat there about 3:30 in the morning. The door swung open and about 8 or 9 prostitutes came storming in. They sat down near him, started carrying on sort of a crude conversation, and being uncomfortable, he was about ready to make his exit when he heard one of the women say, tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm going to be 39 years old. One of the other women who was there came back with sort of a nasty tone, as if this woman, just by sharing her birthday, was expecting them to give her a party, have a cake, sing to her. Why are you being so mean to me? The first woman said. I'm just telling you that my birthday's coming up. Why do you have to put me down? Largely because she had never had a birthday party in her whole life, had never experienced that. Why should she have one now, she thought. Well, when he heard that, Campolo made a decision. So he waited until they all left, and then he asked the guy behind the counter, whose name was Harry, said, do those women come in here every night? He said, yeah, basically so. Campolo said, I have an idea. What if you and I come together to throw a birthday party for Agnes tomorrow night? And Harry said, that's a great idea. I'll provide a cake. Campolo said, well, I'll work on the decorations, get the place all fixed up for the party. At 2:30 the next morning, the doors opened, folks started arriving, and about 3:15, the place was fully set of basically every prostitute in Honolulu. And at 3:30, the doors swung open. A friend and Agnes walked in. There was a big cardboard sign, Happy Birthday, Agnes. She was stunned, flabbergasted. And as they finished singing to her, her eyes started to moisten. When the birthday cake came out with all those candles on it, that's when she largely lost it. After the candles were blown out, she asked them if they'd mind if they not eat the cake right then. She lived just a couple of blocks away. Could she take the cake back there for now? And Campolo says, as she went out that door, she held that cake like it was the Holy Grail, something she had never experienced. They all stood there motionless as she left until Campolo said, well, why don't we pray together? He writes, looking back on it now, it seems more than strange for a sociologist to be leading a prayer meeting with a bunch of prostitutes at a diner in Honolulu at 3:30 in the morning. But then it felt like the right thing to do. He says, I prayed for Agnes. I prayed for her salvation. I prayed that the Lord would be good to her, that she'd be changed. And when he finished, Harry leaned over the counter and with a little bit of hostility said, why didn't you tell me you were a preacher? Why didn't you tell me you were a preacher? What kind of church do you belong to? It was one of those moments, says Campolo, when my words came just right. He said to Harry, I belong to a church that throws parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. And Harry sort of skeptically said, no, you don't. There's no church like that. If there were a church like that, I'd join it. That's the kind of church I'd like to join. And Campolo says, well, wouldn't we all like to join a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning? And he closes with, well, that's the kind of church that Jesus came to create. That kind of church that Jesus came to create is part of what's getting formed and shaped by stories like this parable here in today's text, a story about a divine banquet that's held in celebration of a son whose radical hospitality towards sinners is an urgent kind of invitation that arrives in our lives too. Arrives in our lives not because of our merit, but because of God's mercy toward us. It reminds me of the invitation that Charles Wesley captured in a hymn he wrote titled, come sinners to the gospel feast. Let every soul be Jesus' guest. You need not one be left behind, for God hath bidden all mankind. Sent by my Lord, on you I call. The invitation is to all. Come, all the world, come sinner thou. All things in Christ are ready now. Come, all ye souls by sin oppressed, ye restless wanderers after rest, ye poor and maimed and halt and blind, in Christ a hearty welcome find. But saying yes to this kingdom invitation, saying yes to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, entering this heavenly reception hall, remember that saying yes doesn't come without a cost. The cost of your whole life given over to the reign of God, the kingdom of God, bearing the fruit of repentance, generating the deeds of faith. Otherwise, if we go back to our text, we become like that wedding guest at the end of the story. It's sort of a parable within the parable. We end up becoming like this wedding guest at the end of the story who accepted the king's invitation, but then didn't dress for the occasion. He thought all he needed to do was show up without wearing the garments that are fitting for this kind of event. And I think his place in the story stands really as a word of warning and judgment to any of us who think that just saying yes to Jesus, just saying yes to God's reign, just saying yes to the grace of God in Jesus Christ, well, that's enough. Without truly walking as a disciple of Jesus in your life and in my life, in the way of Jesus as his follower, our text reminds us that at the final judgment, when God sorts things out and sets things right, he will examine and search our lives, not only to see if we said yes to Jesus, but to whether or not that yes took shape in the way that we live our lives as disciples, if we follow the way of Jesus. So we hear in our scripture passage today that Jesus' way is the way of God. And according to Jesus' parable, God's way is the way of repeated invitation. Remember, God, the king in this story, is determined to have this celebration of the Son, this feast of the Savior, and he's determined, whatever it takes, to bring others into this reception hall. And we who profess faith in Jesus Christ, who have said yes to him and live that out as disciples, we are God's way of sending forth that invitation, issuing that summons, that call to the kingdom banquet. So our text reminds us that you and I, we dare not get caught by our Lord clothed in complacency, just satisfied with the status quo and the way things are. Instead, we're called to live lives of faithful invitation, inviting others to Christ, inviting others to church, inviting others into the life of God's kingdom, God's reign, inviting others into this community of faith, which is essentially what the church is. The church is a celebration of the Son, inviting others into that. Part of what helps in that task is to remember that you and I are here at this kingdom banquet, God's great celebration of the Son, because God's invitation reached you somehow, some way, through someone. You heard the invitation, said yes to Jesus. God is determined, we see in this story, determined to invite and bring others in. I like the way that D.T. Niles put it when he said, evangelism is witness. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to get food. The Christian does not offer out of his bounty. He has no bounty. He is simply a guest at the master's table. We are guests at the master's table. And as evangelists, call others too. Let's pray. God, we thank you that in your sovereign love you have reached out to us through your Son to invite us into the life of your kingdom. Thank you for whatever ways in our lives and experience you have reached us and brought us in. We pray that in our lives we'll be faithful, reflecting your inviting, welcoming nature by the way that we invite others to Christ, to your kingdom, to church, into this celebration of your Son. Guide us day by day and moment by moment to be inviting people that reflects your way through Jesus Christ. We pray now in his name. Amen. So as we continue